Hi, it's Brock Romanek, editor of thecorporatecouncil.net. I'm here today with Keith Meyer, who's vice chair and head of global CEO and board practice for CT Partners, which is an executive search firm. And I've asked Keith to spend a few minutes talking about background diligence, which has been in the news, and I've blogged about it several times recently. And the first question for you, Keith, is how much vetting of a CEO candidate, their background should be conducted?
Well, it might surprise you, Brock, but in some cases there's not as much due diligence as you would expect, both for CEO candidates and for board of director candidates. Our view is there needs to be a very exhaustive process of looking at a candidate's full background, not just their resume, but going through a legal check, background check, and due diligence across kind of their whole professional career. So in our view, that's kind of important to think about as a prerequisite step in any recruitment, whether it's CEO, board, or other.
And so what are the typical steps that should be conducted, let's say, for an outside candidate for a CEO?
Well, there's kind of three pieces to it. One piece is with technology, this is very simple now. 15 years ago, it would be more difficult, but with all the online LexisNexis and other legal databases that are out there, it's very easy to query an individual and pick up if there's any legal actions or any other legal ramifications of their prior actions that are out in the public domain. So one cursory kind of first step is just doing the basic, what we call online legal database search query. The second step is doing confidential individual referencing around a candidate's prior performance and their track record. And that gets into contacting individuals who know of the executive and have had past personal dealings with the executive, but these may or may not be individuals that the candidate in question is offering up as references. In many cases, you should go beyond that. And then a third step, which I think is quite, it's almost mandatory, but in some cases it's quite difficult to convince the right parties to achieve, is to actually do one-on-one discussions with the candidate on around certain areas that there may be in question, whether it's a legal proceeding, a prior job that didn't go as well as documented on a resume, et cetera. And so in some cases, Brock, we find that, you know, there may be some inconsistencies, and you just have to do it the old-fashioned way and actually ask the candidate what happened.
So if someone has martial arts, surfing, and travel on their resume, then you ask them some questions about their surfing skills, I guess.
Or if there's a degree, and maybe the institution, the university, says that the degree is a different major than the one that's listed on the resume, you need to address that with the candidate.
So what about if the CEO candidate is someone that's internal, that it's the COO or someone else, maybe the general counsel that's up for the CEO position? Would the same kind of diligence be necessary?
Yeah, well, I think you've got to break it down in case-specific, look at the individual and where they've been. If there's someone that has grown up in the company for 25, 30 years, and you know their complete career trajectory and history, I think that's a different case than someone that may have come into the company two or three or five or six years ago and had a long career somewhere else and have had multiple employers. I think if it's a homegrown talent, you know the individual all the way back through time, that would be a different case. But if that's not the situation you're talking about, and most executives today have probably been at two or more companies, I think it's the same due diligence process for that group of candidates as an external candidate.
And what about for director candidates, the fact that they're already on prominent boards or of other companies, does that change the mix?
I think that the rule that we use is don't assume that the due diligence has been done before, no matter what the board is, whether it's Fortune 100, Fortune 1000, private company. And it's a very small price and a very small amount of time to pay to go and actually do it yourself. I think there's an evolution in scrutiny and the amount of transparency that we now see that's being expected in a process, whether it's director recruitment, CEO recruitment. So if somebody joined a board 5, 10, 15 years ago, there may just not have been at that time the same level of due diligence. So in many cases, we find that you have to start afresh and actually do it in the current mode.
And is the vetting for a director candidate different than a CEO candidate?
Well, what makes it more challenging is many cases the director candidate has had some prior personal or professional connectivity to one or more of the board members that are already sitting directors. It's not unusual for that to be the case. And then sometimes you're asked to waive off the due diligence just because, hey, I know this guy from a such and such a professional affiliation, so you know, he seems or she seems like a really good guy. Why should we go through the due diligence process? We always push back on that and say, well, you've seen that person in a certain context, but you don't know their complete life and their complete history of accomplishments. And there needs to be the same due diligence as you would any CEO candidate or director candidate who you may or may not know. But that's a more challenging conversation because there's a personal connection sometimes that, you know, is tried to override, if you will, the standard process. We push back and say, you know what, again, doesn't take a lot of time or energy. Let us be the bad guy, if you will, saying we need to go do this. And let's all agree that the due diligence process should be just the same for Joe, if you know Joe, as it does Jane, if you don't know Jane.
And who typically conducts the diligence?
There's a couple different parties involved. If you're using an outside search firm, again, through public databases and online information sources, it's very easy for the search firm to do a preliminary level of due diligence. More often than not, you need to elevate that as the candidate goes through the process. If he or she becomes a serious candidate and you're thinking about moving that candidate forward into what we call a short list or a final grouping, and then we strongly recommend you go out and use an investigative third-party background check firm. Have them do their complete due diligence, run all the traps at the federal, state, and local level, and go back 20 or more years, sometimes 25 or more years, do an exhaustive check of the individual's background, all the accomplishments, the press and public, if you will, information that's been out there through the years, and do a complete summary of that. And usually the person that receives this is a combination of, if it's a board search, the chair of the board, the chair of the nominating committee of the board, and more often than not, the general counsel. If it's a CEO process, then typically the chief human resource officer is involved, as well as the general counsel. Probably doesn't go to the chairman, or may or may not go to the chairman, depending on the CEO, the current incumbent CEO's role in the process.
And if one of your clients needs to use an investigative firm, do they often rely on you to be the person that hires and manages the investigator, or do they get someone on their own?
Yeah, we typically do not want to have any contractual relationship with that firm. We want that contractual relationship to lie solely with the company. And then if the company has not used a firm like that before, if they want recommendations on 3 to 5 that are out there in the space doing that kind of work, we'll offer up, you know, where we've had track record of success with prior firms. But then the decision to hire that firm and to manage that firm lies typically with the company.
And one last question is, I imagine with CEO searches it'll depend on the situation, but it seems to me that often those are more time is of the essence compared to director search. And maybe those searches are more intense, so those would be done in a compressed time frame. Is that true?
Well, in reality, Brock, you know, an external search may go on for 3, 4, 5 months, and the amount of time, whether it's a director search or a CEO search, and the amount of time it takes to actually do a really exhaustive background check is 3 to 5 to 7 days. And so really, it's... you know, just a speck, if you will, on the whole windshield of a search is the amount of time it takes to do the background check. It can be done very quickly. In some cases, it can be done in less than 72 hours. So,
Well, this has been very helpful, and so thanks, Keith. And I mean, do you feel like in the last few weeks since the Yahoo situation has made it into the press that more clients are looking at this, or is it too early to tell if there's really a change in the trends?
No, we're starting to see a lot of visibility around this issue, and so far I would tell you that every single company we work with has been demanding that these background checks be done in an exhaustive manner in a thorough manner for all the candidates that are, again, kind of in the short list frame, if you will, before decisions made. I think the message really is being taken to heart across all the boardrooms that we're working with.
Great. All right, well, thanks very much, Keith, for your expertise.
Thank you, Brock.